Ostrich and West for Show. We are talking about today's trending topics and asking our sex question of the week. This week it was, what is it? Oh, teabagging. Teabagging and other odd sexual requests. And I did get a number of responses from you guys, so.
Any more videos this week?
No more videos.
Boo.
That's too bad. Last week we had a really fun video for sexual revenge.
It was
someone
nice.
Jerked off on their boss's desk and sent me a video.
And had a very good dick and a very nice look.
Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year. New Year, same us.
Yes, so we have coming up there later. Of course, we also have all of our other topics of the day. But first and foremost, up front, we have cosplayer provocateur Chris Riley, a.k.a. Ken Lucky.
Woo-hoo! Hey, everybody. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, my God. Thanks for
so nice to have
coming
you.
On. Yeah. Well, Chris, you are really well known to all the nerds listening, all the cosplayers, all the geeks. That's your kingdom. I've known you for years, but I actually remember seeing you in Us magazine when you did the Emma Frost body paint, head to toe, bejeweled. Oh my God, ooh. It was fucking incredible.
Diamond form Emma Frost from the X-Men of Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, like, prior to a certain time, I don't know if people remember, but, like, magazines didn't cover Comic-Cons, and you didn't see Entertainment Tonight at Comic-Cons.
It was very underground subculture.
Yeah.
You, honestly, like, you were the geekiest of the geek if you admitted that you went to a convention.
Mm-hmm. But that, right when that was all kind of changing, I remember that coming out.
Yeah, I think it's the power of social media, really.
Yeah.
You know, because all the nerds got to band together and mm-hmm. call each other cool. And then all the cool people were like, oh, they think they're cool. I guess they're cool.
Yeah. Well,
we should be cool, too.
These awesome photo galleries online. It's like,
yeah.
Of course you could sit there for 10, 15
right.
minutes clicking through all these amazing costumes. And like, it's a perfect fit for that medium as well. Because, you know, online you can just have this great photo gallery of all the stuff. So... tell us how you originally got into cosplay, and then, I mean, now you're at such a graduated state. I mean, you're holding events, and you do panels, and you put panels together, and all this stuff, but how did you really first get into the whole scene?
Well, originally, I got my group of friends together, and I wanted to produce a comic book,
mm-hmm.
and it was called Lucky Legendary, and the whole shtick was that it was an obviously gay character mm-hmm. that was leading a team of straight people.
Ooh, I like
yeah,
that.
Well, at, I mean, at now it's just like, okay, well, we have that entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's a possibility. But at the time, you know, I was laughed at, I was mocked, I was, you know, told that it was never going to happen, it was a joke, you know, no one would buy a comic book with a gay character on it. But I kept doing it, and the way that I would promote the characters and the storyline and the comic book was by my group of friends portraying the characters in cosplay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, so when we went to conventions and stuff, it was a completely different scene. There was probably like 5-6 girls,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there were booth babes.
Yeah.
Obviously hot, big
yeah.
breasts,
yeah.
ample, you know,
tight
everything.
Costume.
Tight costumes. So, you know, having more men on the scene... and also having an obviously gay person,
mm-hmm.
you know, out there, it at the time was different.
Yeah. Well, and the costumes were very sexy. They were definitely something different than just the, I don't know, I want to say safe or like Halloween-y costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They were customized.
Yeah.
You were building the stuff and making it,
yeah.
you know, very
and,
sexy. And
well, with my original character that I portrayed, Captain Lucky... You know, I made sure that he had a very pronounced package,
mm-hmm.
you know, because at the time, the reflection of gay men in comic books was the underground porn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was exaggerated
yeah.
appendages.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a reflection and commentary on that. But, you know, everybody was shocked and I got bullied for it. I got, you know, called names, but then people started to... laugh at it and then accept it and then
mm-hmm.
think it was cool and then all of a sudden it, you know, became legendary.
Yeah, amazing. Literally.
Well, and there's definitely a lot more male sexuality in cosplay.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you've been on the forefront of that too, because that's a big part of where you're at now is, I mean, while you still do the conventions and stuff, you also have really your own creative space on Patreon.
Yes. Over the past, I don't know, 3-4 years, artists have now had these platforms like OnlyFans, Patreon, mm-hmm. crowdfunding sites where people pay you monthly subscriptions to see your content.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is, if you're putting this out there for free anyway, you might as well be making some money off of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a way to really connect with your fans and have them become involved in your process, mm-hmm. and they get to help you evolve your work.
Yeah.
So everything that I have done has led to being plugged into this platform. Mm-hmm. That's like, and I've been around doing this since 2003.
Well, it's very elevated too. I mean, you're not just having people in costumes, you know, running around, whatever. You create a whole world that they exist in, like the backgrounds, you create this whole situation and story, and because I've done some shoots with you, and we really talk about like what's happening here, and how's this part of like you're thinking about all these things, and then when you see the finished product, I mean, suddenly we're in this enchanted forest, or we're, you know, on the
with technology the way it is now, I mean, you used to have to go to school to learn Photoshop, and you'd have to have a lot of money just to have the program. But everything is so instantaneous now with the way technology is, mm-hmm. with YouTube, with the editing programs that you can get on your iPad. I do everything on my iPad. I edit videos, I record things, mm-hmm. I you know, edit photos, mm-hmm. so right now with me, everything is self-taught and it's instinctual, and every day I'm doing something new and I'm pushing myself to learn. So, you know, I may not be the best digital artist in the world, but, you know, if you follow me, you can see the progress mm-hmm. of an artist, you know, go from something small to something huge.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's really great. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's how we feel about podcasting. It's like, we've been learning every step of the way. We started off doing it just on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So you
they are so set up right now, though. They are like high tech.
Yeah, we have the official mic and the recording program.
A big,
and
big visceral mic.
I was really impressed.
Yeah. And it's such a comfortable studio, isn't it? It's right. Almost like you're in a bedroom.
I'm so at home.
Chris, how can people help support your artwork and the things that you do?
Well, you can go to patreon.com/caplucky. I'm caplucky on all social media. The other way is to attend events like the pop culture conventions, and I host panels there, attend some of the panels. I do a lot of sexuality and cosplay panels. I mm-hmm. do panels that are based on the LGBT community, right. For, you know, LGBT geeks to come out of the closet and find community resources. So, my whole thing is, if you want to support my mission in life, support the LGBT geek community and everything that they're trying to accomplish.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're on that social justice forefront, you know? I mean, we are the X-Men. We are the weirdos, mister. And I really like the way that you do your conventions and panels. I've done a couple of them with you, and my very first one ever was with you, and we were at the WhedonCon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people kind of settle into these things, like one person sits over here, uh-huh. and then like three rows down,
like a high school dance.
Person's, yeah. and for our perspective, being up front, you're like, oh, it's like so sparse. It's like weird looking and sparse. Mm-hmm. And then from the audience perspective, you get why they want to be whatever. And Chris was like, no. This is a meetup. So everyone's gonna come in the first two rows, and you're all gonna move in, pull those chairs in closer. And he literally like got up for the and pulled everyone closer to us.
That's
and
awesome.
Everyone came in, and it suddenly became this completely different dynamic, mm-hmm. and it was inclusive to everyone in the room. And everyone felt like not only could they ask questions, but they could participate as well. I mean, I think there were even times where you threw questions to the group, like a couple of us on the panel would answer, and then you'd be like, "Well, what about you guys?"
So, yeah, I feel it's very important to. you know, include your audience as much as possible when you're doing a panel, because as much as it is about the guest and promoting their work and, you know, talking about their experiences in whatever industry or field they're in, it's important for the audience member to take away something, to feel fulfilled by seeing that panel. And, you know, unless you connect with them, they might not ask those hard-hitting questions that they really have burning in their soul. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these LGBT panels, as an example, are on a different level than, say, if you're at a panel for Riverdale for the CW.
Yeah, sure.
You know, these are community panels where people can make new friends and find support.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you have any events coming up soon?
Right now, I think the next thing is another Weeding Con. It's coming up in March.
I am ready, Buffy.
Yeah, that's right.
perfecting the costume.
I am the LGBT director and cosplay director, so I'll be throwing some panels as well as judging the costume contest. I have a lot of fun doing that every year. Like the Weeding Con people, they are so into the fandom that they will go all out in their costumes and their characterizations. It's amazing. So that's coming up. Long Beach Comic Expo is coming up. There's a convention.
Every month.
Not every month. Every weekend. Three of them somewhere across the country, maybe five of them, you know, all over the world.
That's so
and
interesting.
You used to not have these pop culture conventions. You used to just be San Diego. Yeah. Mm. And that was the mecca, you know?
Which is huge and its own thing, but I really value the small cons because, A, it really is true fans of whatever it is. Like, a Whedon Con, come on. Like, if you love Buffy or you love Firefly, like, that's why you're there. Maybe some Avenger stuff, whatever, but come on. You're basically there for the other.
Yeah.
Just his earlier stuff. Mm-hmm.
Just for a side tidbit, I don't know if you guys know this, but Comic-Con was in a big lawsuit with the other conventions for using Con at the end of their title.
Oh.
So they won. And of course, this case was done in San Diego, of all places.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they're biased towards that convention.
Of course.
But they still won, so all the other conventions now have to change their name. So instead of calling it Con, they're calling it Fest. And, you know, other synonyms like that.
Expo or, oh my God. Wow.
I did not know that. That's interesting, though.
That's breaking news, by the way.
Oh,
glad to have brought you that.
Yes.
So many breaking stories on the show.
So, Chris, I feel like when I got into cosplay, obviously I had you to help me and, you know, occasionally give me a couple things to wear, give me tips or whatever, and then by the time we pulled off Zombie Spider-Man, I
which is very, very good.
What would you say to anyone who, you know, just for fun, if you love Halloween, you are a cosplayer. Like, because you can now be you can do Halloween every, week, apparently.
Every weekend. Right. Not just conventions, but events, meetups, nightclub events.
So if
the
list. A character that you like, you can work on that and make it better each time. You can change it up a little bit. You can add to it. What would be any advice you would have to kind of the newbie or current cosplayer to, you know?
Sure. I think the thing is, people are very intimidated by cosplay because you see people that look like they just walked off the screen.
Yeah.
But you can start in your own home on day one without even leaving your house. It's called closet cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
If you can piece together some sort of resemblance of a character from something you have in your closet, you can go out into the street and somebody can look at you and say, oh my God, it's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Right.
I totally get it. You have succeeded. And Shaggy from Scooby-Doo is probably in your closet.
That's a perfect
example. True. Yeah.
Start with closet cosplay, people.
Yeah, because that's fun. That's stuff you pull together. Mm-hmm. You're playing characters who are made. Like, you could do it if you had something as a wand. You could wear a black suit and be a Draco Malfoy.
Mm-hmm.
And have blonde hair or whatever. You know, like, you could definitely pull looks that people would recognize. And
a lot of people start out with, like, 90s cartoons because they're very generic and easy to get a hold of. Like, my favorite is being Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And, you know, she's me. She's my spirit animal, you know. But all I needed was, you know, a wig, my glasses I wear all the time, blue shirt, blue pants, you know, some socks. It was so easy. I had it all already.
And effective.
And very, people loved it. I loved it. I just wish I was Tina Belcher every day.
Yeah.
Well, you can be.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the conventions this year. I'm definitely hoping to get you to some conventions.
I know.
And yeah, that'd be really fun. Because I know you have your suits. You have your Black Panther suit.
I have my Black Panther suit. I'm actually working.
Really realistic.
Oh, really?
I'm actually working on. I just ordered some claws for it.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready for the premiere. Some
upgrading.
Yes.
I think Richie Rich should do a cosplay pinup shoot.
Yes.
With his Black Panther.
I'm down.
Yes.
I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, we have one more thing up front, just because I like to put other stuff up front that it doesn't fit into any of our other regular categories, but also fits the show.
So something non-shady, but slightly?
The man with the largest penis.
Oh yeah, that fits our show perfectly.
Has been proven to be a fraud.
What?
What?
He claims that his penis stretches down past his knee.
Uh-huh.
But a doctor examined him and he had a bandage, basically. He wears a constant bandage because he said it's so large that it's crippling. That he can't work, that he this and that, he can't run, he can't, you know. And then he has to wrap it up on his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't allow the doctor to take off the wrapping.
What?
So the doctor did like a CI scan or whatever the fuck it is. CI scan, one of those things. And I'm showing you guys, obviously it's a podcast, you can't fucking see it, but here's what came out in the scan. His actual wing is right there.
Whoa.
He has stretched his foreskin.
That's foreskin?
Yes,
that's gross.
His foreskin.
Oh my
from
god.
His penis down the stretch of his leg.
Oh my god.
And that end part there is just where it's like engorged and
gross
and
oh god, it's probably a cheesy situation.
Ew.
Who even knows what's in there?
Oh god. I'm dead.
Ew.
I died. It's over.
Oh, I wish I were dead.
I don't even want to and it's been in a bandage all this time,
and
right?
It's been a bandage.
So
ew.
That probably and smells.
That's disgusting. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Why'd you show us this?
Why did you show us this?
It's an X-ray. It's an X-ray. It's
do you hate us this much? What did I do to deserve this?
God.
Listeners, you have been spared.
Don't Google it.
Don't.
You're gonna think of things in your head that we just described, obviously.
I'm gonna have nightmares about it. It's like Freddy Krueger stuff right there.
Ew. Oh.
All right. Moving on.
Yes, thank you.
It's time.
I need more wine for
this. Yeah, let's get some more wine.
Fill me up.
Absolutely.
Fill it. Glug, 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 glug.
Well, there goes some Merlot.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to have a little Meritage now. We're mixing.
Okay, that's fine.
By the way, that's what it's called. You have two different grapes.
Oh. I've heard that you're not supposed to do that, but...
You're fine.
I don't have a refined enough palate where I can even tell the difference.
No, they sell Meritages. It's fine.
I drink my wine out of a plastic bottle.
All right, you guys, you know what? It's time for Celebrity Shade.
Yay.
Oh, who do we hate this week?
Everyone.
Good answer.
Okay.
It's a constant answer.
Here's what happened, though. Actually, no shade, but a little bit of tea. Mariah Carey did not ruin New Year's Eve.
Yay!
So we're spared this year.
Yeah, she's kind of like Wapakoneta Phil, right?
Yes. If you tuned in last week, we blame Mariah Carey for all the shit that happened in 2017 because she started off New Year's Eve
a wreck.
Horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And then cursed
it. It's not going to get any better.
Right? That's exactly what she said at the end of her performance. And that set the tone for the entire year.
Yeah.
You guys, is she like New Year's groundhog?
Mm-hmm.
Is she
mm-hmm.
for like how
yes.
our year's gonna
she's
be?
Looking at Phil or whatever
yeah,
his name
and
is.
Thank God
yes.
we're spared this year, so it'll be a good year, guys.
She did okay.
Did not fuck up on stage.
She did okay.
The only thing she did during her 2-song set that was a little out of place was ask for some hot tea. But you know it's cold up there.
Exactly,
so.
It's freezing.
And who doesn't need a little hot tea?
Exactly,
yeah, sure to warm her up.
Mm-hmm. I would have given her an entire picture of it if
how,
it saved this year.
How much do you hate to be that guy that forgot it though? You know, he's probably like shit in his drawers.
Yeah. He was drunk as fuck, just like everyone else was.
There was actually a photo later. Mariah posted a photo on her Twitter that said "Found my tea," and of course she wasn't just drinking out of some Starbucks cup.
No.
It was a fancy
teacup.
Of course.
And And she was still in her little coat.
She is so extra.
I love that she's just in her own fucking world.
She's like a living, breathing cartoon character. And I just can't be mad at it.
I have a cosplay friend who is in love with her. And he's called her Little Lamb. Mm-hmm. Because I guess all of their fans, they're called lambs. Mm-hmm. Like Lady Gaga has Monster. Yeah. So he just went to her concert dressed as a lamb, like in a onesie.
That's adorable.
It was adorable. I love his fandom for her. You know, but Mariah Carey, bless her heart, you know, she's been through a lot.
She has. Mind you, another little tidbit, she started the whole name your fan thing, because she's been calling her fans lamb since like 1994.
Yeah.
I believe it.
That
was like her little nickname.
Yeah.
Instead of calling them fans, she called them lambs, which I actually think is really cute.
It is.
And very smart, because fans can kind of make you sound a little...
I'm up here, and
those are my my little lambs. Like those are my babies. Yes. Like, hey, babes.
I was in one of her music videos, and I guess it was like the one where Randy Jackson was on guitar, and I think Dave Navarro was on other guitar.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
She was the lead on that. Oh my god! And Joe Millionaire was on that.
Oh my god!
Remember
oh
Joe Millionaire god. From the Fox reality How show a million bad. Years ago? He was on that. But it was just so funny because, like, I was in the back going, ugh, I'm fucking cold. I bet you any money Mariah just is being a bitch and she's probably backstage and she hates us. Like, this is so not my cup of tea. Whatever. Because I was just having a long day.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Not maybe 10 minutes later, Mariah gets up on there and she says, now I know that I might not be everybody's cup of tea. But I wanted to thank you all for, you know, being here. I was like, was that a bitch in disguise standing next to me listening to everything I was saying? Because, you know, that stuff happens, especially when you live in Hollywood.
Yes.
True, you know? You never know. You don't say not one bad word.
Nope. Yeah. Big Brother's always watching.
Big Mariah Carey.
Or Big Mama's always watching.
Mother Lamb.
You know, she could have been in her M&M disguise.
Right. That video was great.
Her M&M costume.
The funny thing is that that's actually how M&M looks now.
Yeah.
She was foreshadowing.
She predicted the future. As ever, she predicted the future. Like every year when she sets the tone.
So this year will be a lot better than last year.
Hey, speaking of M&M, did you guys hear that he has Grindr?
Yes.
I heard that.
He said that.
Yeah, he said, I'm on Tinder and Grindr. I was like, I know what that's about.
Really? All right. Well, you're the one that used the F word. So.
All the time.
I want to see how slim that shady is.
Okay. I would do it.
I would too. I would too.
I wouldn't. That's saying a lot.
I would want him to do me and then rap about it later.
Yes. He would.
He probably would.
Yes.
So, I put this down in Celebrity Shade because I thought it was ridiculous. A stuntman died on The Walking Dead, which, first of all, what are they even doing on Walking Dead where someone needs to die?
Right?
No stunt should be that dangerous.
Aren't they just literally walking around slowly?
He died, and they were fined. Production crew was not fired, they were fined. I actually read fired and wrote fired and then reread everything. I was like, oh, they were just fined.
Fake news.
And then you got mad.
$12,000.
Are you fucking shitting me?
That's how much a life is worth?
$12,000? For whatever negligence that they...
And who gets it? The family?
What did his family get? What is it like? It didn't detail any of that.
Doesn't a funeral like cost like $6,000 alone? Yes.
Yeah. Yes, caskets are already like $3,000-$4,000 in themselves. If they were in that route.
I really hope that the cast and crew and everyone involved in that, because you know they all work together and know each other, and I hope they did a little more than that.
I would hope so. If not, then they're all pieces of shit.
Have any of them made statements about it?
I haven't seen anything, but I haven't really been.
If they haven't, then they're covering it up, and it's heartless. And, you know, they have empathy if they would get up and make a statement on Twitter.
No one with today's technology needs to die in a stunt.
No.
There's nothing.
No.
No.
At all.
No. Speaking of dead, did you guys see or hear about or even know who Logan Paul is? Because...
Never in my life until...
Was vaguely aware of him just because he's kind of a social media persona. Mm-hmm. But he used to be on Nickelodeon because he was a famous YouTuber for pulling pranks. And then Nickelodeon or Disney or somebody, I don't even know. He was on a show, but he was obviously such an obnoxious asshole that he's no longer on that show. They fired his ass. And you can't mess around on those.
Nope.
Nickelodeon or Disney or all that child stuff. They're like, no.
They're like, you're not wholesome enough. You are you are sinful like those nuns told Katy Perry last week.
Anyway, he does a daily video on YouTube. He gets millions of views, millions of followers. A lot of his followers are like 10, 12, you know, up to 13, 15, whatever. Because he does pranks, he does stupid stuff. You know, when you're a kid, you love people who were kind of stupid. People loved, what was that dumbass show where they were?
Jackass.
And all that shit. Well, but his pranks are like
extremely obnoxious, and not only that, the guys at Jackass would just do shit to each other. They wouldn't do anything to anyone else.
Right.
He's like an evil pranker?
Yes. He'll like go harass people on the streets. And that's like, rude. And then run away.
He was in Japan recently and was trying to catch people like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not supposed to laugh at that. Audience, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And he would,
that's what he's going for. He's going for that it's so fucking wrong and
that's
stupid.
That's wrong.
You're walking the street and someone called you a fag. You're in your home turf.
Yeah.
And someone
it's
like,
hi-ya! Yeah, like, come here, Pikachu, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah.
Oh, he also went to the dead forest, or the suicide forest, or whatever fucking forest is, where people actually go
to kill themselves.
You mean from Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
This is a real life situation.
But it's a real life thing that happened, and apparently I don't know if this was faked or real, but they showed what was reported to be an actual hanging body from a tree in this forest.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Uh-huh.
On YouTube. Given that his audience is like 10 to 15 or whatever the fuck it is.
No.
So wrong.
That is emotionally traumatizing to a child. Like, my parents wouldn't let me go to a funeral until I was old enough to see someone in a casket. First of all, that's fucked up. Why do we do that?
Yeah.
Can we talk about what he was wearing in order to go do this, by the way?
Oh, yes.
It was like a hat from Toy Story, one of the little aliens.
Yeah.
It's all cute and, like, obnoxious. Yep. Let's go talk about suicide.
Then he said he wasn't going to do a video for a while, but then he did.
And he monetized it.
Monetized it and then posted the Pokemon one.
Yeah.
Rude.
Another Paul, Aaron Paul, who's actually cool, he was on Breaking Bad. Aaron Paul was like, fuck you, Logan Paul.
Well, you know, there is a petition out now to have his YouTube removed.
It should be.
And demonetized and everything else. And I guess he's actually possibly in trouble with the people in Japan because they have very strict recording laws and vlogging laws. And he was running around in cultural attire, first of all. Like, stealing,
they had detained him at the airport,
right?
Prison right now.
He stole an octopus and, like, shoved in someone's face, and running around. It was really, really bad.
I have a question. If he were arrested in the Japanese jail, and, you know, we've had some international problems in the current past, do you think that our administration should go rescue him or leave him there to serve as an example?
Absolutely not. Leave his ass there. Let me tell you how
he's an American.
About this man. I know about him because I got a petition on my door because he lives down the street from me, and they're trying to have him removed from his house.
Right, because he raises all this ruckus.
Yes,
all these crazy parties. News crews are there,
it's
fucking helicopters
just a fucking
flying
mess.
Around, people are on the roof, crashing shit.
I say end him.
I actually kind of just want him to go away. If he actually was a prisoner in Japan and this became an international incident, that's getting him way too much attention and way too much clout. So I'm glad he's back home, and I really just hope people stop watching this, and I hope YouTube does the right thing. Even on the news, if they're going to show you something sensitive, they will warn you first, and they generally do not show a dead body.
That is not
okay. And he's not like a hard journalist or someone doing
He's
whatever.
A kid with a fucking
he
camera.
He laughed at it.
Yeah.
He laughed at it and at the end of the video was laughing about it.
Here's a horrible question to lighten the mood. Before he did this stunt in the Living Forest or whatever it's mm-hmm. called, would you have blown him?
No.
He's hideous.
He's not even cute.
He's not even cute. And this totally made him not cuter.
He looks like your stereotypical douchey frat boy.
He's not.
And cute I'm whatsoever. Just, no, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like derp face.
Yeah. Total derp face.
Yes. See?
Derp face forever. Okay, speaking of what the fuck. You guys heard the Justin Timberlake single before we started recording the podcast.
Is that what we heard?
And
we had a listener too.
We've had a sufficient amount of wine since then and it's sunk in, and what do we think?
Trash.
Reductive.
I honestly, the first time I heard it, I thought, this is noise.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
This is horrible. The second time I heard it, I did actually hear the more George Michael Prince-esque mm-hmm. vibe to it, but only because it was so bad, I could not recognize that the first time through. Justin actually has a really good singing voice, and he has a great falsetto, and he can do mm-hmm. all that shit. He's not doing that in the song, number one. And the song, the way they're doing the music, it was like three songs.
It was oddly structured. It was too much going on.
It was terrible.
No.
And play a song and sing the song. Yes. He's fine just singing a song.
He said he's getting back to his roots with this album and this song. I'm like, sweetheart, your roots are in NSYNC.
Yeah.
And the Mickey Mouse Club.
Mickey Mouse Club. You sang cover songs of pop songs and they had a pop band.
Maybe that's what it is. He's getting back to stealing other people's music. Right. You know? George Michael, Prince, it was all that.
The thing was, like, Prince and George Michael had just a true sense of style and coolness and
originality.
Originality. And they were... they just did their own fucking thing.
Yeah.
And it was different and it was unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to riff on that, I think, is unfortunate.
Well, there's a lot of things about Justin Blake that I think are unfortunate.
I think he's cute.
Well, I would do him. Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes I pretend I'm Jessica Biel.
Boring? Why?
Oh my god. Speaking of music, Bruno Mars and Cardi B are teaming up.
Yeah, they did a 90s inspired remix of one of his songs. I've been seeing clips online. I've been far too busy to watch it.
Why?
I don't know.
Who put these two together and what? First of all, look, I know everybody loves Cardi B. Hot take. Don't care. Not my thing. Don't really feel it. I think mainly because everyone likes it so much.
So much, yeah.
You guys...
it was something I had heard in a club like one time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. But because it's so white girl taken over, I just... And then Bruno Mars, who is also the most basic bitch of them all.
Bruno Mars gets on my damn nerves. Speaking of,
I just feel like it's watering her down, first of all, and him trying to be more relevant and cool and hip and whatever. Like, let her be.
Yeah, let her do her thing.
Don't pair her for. Don't put her with Bruno fucking Mars.
Mars, why?
I have something to say.
Coldplay.
You guys, I am so out of touch. Look at my hat. What does it say? What does my hat say?
Hot mess.
Hot
stealing that, by
who
the way.
Is Cardi B?
Oh,
Cardi, so Cardi B is this rapper from a show from that's called Love and Hip Hop. She was an Instagram person, and then...
wait a minute. Is she blonde?
No. She's black hair. She's like Latin or something.
Okay.
And she has one song that blew up last year.
It is a good song.
And now it's very catchy.
Yeah.
And now she's everywhere. I actually like her for her personality, because she's like a fucking cartoon character.
Give her
literally.
And Tiffany Haddish a show.
Yes, that would be fucking brilliant.
It's done.
Music, blah. Like, her song is actually very catchy.
It is. It's a cute song, but yeah.
But she, like, she got attention because she was such a character.
Right.
Very funny, very just says it like she means it. Mm-hmm. She has this weird accent.
Where is she even from? I don't know.
I don't even know.
Next, she'll be doing a duet album with Tony Bennett.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speak no word combos.
Okay, next topic. Do you guys love Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Because
duh.
I love her.
Of course.
And the cast from Mad Men Carmen Shipka, the little girl from Mad Men. She's going to be Sabrina.
That's adorable.
In the new series?
Yeah, she's perfect. Wow. Have you seen her all lately? I won't say all grown up because that's apparently sexualizing a teenager, but have you seen her lately?
I have not, but I'm assuming it's something awesome by your physical reaction.
She totally looks the part. Like, yeah. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
What age is she portraying? Is she like young teen, mid-teen, old teen?
I don't know.
This series is supposed to be super dark, by the way. They are getting to the roots of the comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was very dark. It was. It's actually going to be called like the something 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 of Sabrina. Like it's not Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It's going to be. I don't fucking remember the name of it. But it makes it.
We fired intern way last year. We left her.
That was 2017.
We left her in 2017 with all the rest of the trash.
That body is buried in the bag. I'm really excited for this show. I love it because, you know, when you have, like, Supernatural, loved it, mm-hmm. Buffy, all that. Like, yeah. I love the shows that keep that kind of stuff going. Like, Charmed. Yeah. And Charmed was basically Charlie's Angels with witch powers.
I never thought about it like that, and now my mind is blown.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It absolutely is.
Mind blown.
It's Aaron Spelling, too.
Same producer. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yep. Mind blown.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch, loved it. I would love a darker version. Yeah. A 2018 version. Make it dirty. Make it dark. Make her cool. Mm-hmm. Give me blood. Because you know what? I've been watching the originals, which I know has like been off the air for a while, but I never saw it the first time around. Love you, Netflix.
We're busy.
It is a show that I could definitely see guys watching because there's enough violence and blood and mm-hmm. stuff where, you know, I could see them watching it kind of peripherally. Girls, it's a total soap opera, but it's real bloody and it's real violent, and if there's not at least like a fight every 10-15 minutes, it's not like the episode's a very special episode, you know
what I mean? Has a storyline.
There's a lot of blood, but there's so much deception and back and twists and like this character is aligning with this one and then they're forming, but then this falls through and then they betray them and like there's so much of this.
Ooh, now I'm interested.
But then a lot of blood too. Then like they can't kill each other, but they'll just break each other's neck to like knock each other out. So
oh my god,
so
this
much,
is
like
my
so
perfect show.
Neck breaking.
I'm like there's
mad,
drama
like,
and shade and blood and neck breaking.
Yeah.
Why have I not seen this yet?
It's really good.
So, no, what I'm doing after the show.
Very, very dark. So I hope they just fucking go for it.
With Sabrina, are they going to broadcast it on CW or is it on Netflix? Because
on
I heard
Netflix
rumors.
Well, I don't know. It's part of the Riverdale.
It's on Netflix because CW passed on.
You know what that means? Even darker.
Even darker. Yeah. That's true. Oh yeah,
I love when things get darker. That's why I love Buffy. Because I actually loved the movie.
Yeah.
I was one of the few people that actually, I was obsessed with that movie.
I love that movie.
And then the TV show came out, and I was like, oh my god, this is going to be so great. I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Because the movie came out when I was a kid, so it was really campy and not dark at all. And then I was a teenager, and you know, teenage angst. So I was like, oh my god, I totally relate, Willow.
I think Richie Rich needs to come to Weeding Con then.
Oh my god.
Because this year, Drusilla's going to be there. Last year it was Xander and the Gruselug. So there's always all the favorite actors of your past.
Get us on a panel.
Yes.
What would I wear?
We'll do it. Yes. Well, we'll talk about it. And yeah. Okay, you know what else creepy that happened this week? The Winchester trailer with Helen Mirren.
I didn't see it.
Didn't see it.
Okay, so this is a real house that exists. The
oh, we talked about
Winchester,
this.
The widow, she felt haunted by the ghosts of those killed by Winchester guns, which is how they made their fortune. Mm-hmm. And she thought that the way to ward off the spirits from finding her was to continue building onto the house other hallways and doorways and stairways, some of which led to nothing. Now Helen Mirren is like dramatically reenacting her, I guess it's all from the perception of her because the ghosts are very real from the trailer. Mm. Which, of course, just go for it.
Yeah.
Why make her seem like she's crazy? Why try to make it real? Why try to make it, fuck that, give us the ghosts.
Exactly.
Give us the shit. Because there could be a real message in this movie. Even in the trailer, they were very clear that it it was the guns that killed these people, and it is their ghosts that are haunting her because her family created these
what
weapons
killed them.
And distributed them to people.
That is awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I'm gripped.
And imagine, because that is actually what happened.
Yes.
She really felt fucking haunted.
Yeah.
So I'm loving it.
I can't wait to see this trailer.
I got chills.
I forgot we talked about that a few
episodes
ago.
I know, we love creepy shit on this show.
We do. Mm-hmm. Creepy and sexy, sometimes both.
Sure.
Same time.
Hot zombie sex.
Speaking of creepy, just got to give a quick plug. There's a new web series by Crypt TV called Fables, but horror versions of it.
Ooh,
and the makeup is so amazing. They just did Pinocchio, Rapunzel. Crypt TV, check it out.
The original versions.
No. It's modern day takes on it.
Oh.
But they're short, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
My attention span, perfect. I'm
already
sold.
That's all I can watch.
I have no attention span whatsoever.
You are my people.
Yes. I'm like 5 to 10 minutes. Awesome.
Yeah. Wait, what were we talking about?
Right. Wait, where am I?
We're talking about.
Who are you?
What show am I on now?
That's why this show is perfect, because we're on to our next topic.
See?
Exactly. Bryan Singer, bye.
More trash.
Bye, Felicia.
More trash relief in 2017.
Bye, Bryan Singer. That's all. Betty White reveals her secret to longevity: hot dogs and vodka.
I tell everyone this. I am a vodka lover, and I love me some chili dogs.
Okay.
I don't care.
That's what you gotta do.
The second time I met Betty White twice. The second time I met Betty White.
You were eating a hot dog?
No, it was at Pink's Hot Dog. Because she was doing a promotion for that weird song that she did.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
No, but I love it.
I love it already
without even knowing.
She did a song with Lucia or Lou, whatever her name was. And yeah, it was like a remix with Betty White. That's when Betty White was at peak Betty White. And everywhere you turned, it was Betty White. And she loves Pink's, and Pink's often caters for her and all her stuff. So when she had this event for this song, here's what actually happened. Okay, I make it sound like this whole big thing. Here's what it really was. On the roof of Pink's, they had a cart. They had their catering carts around, and they served free hot dogs to everyone that came. They had all the press come. They had a few people from the public, whatever. They had a red velvet thing taped off or roped off, and a door. There behind that door, those of us like a behind the door, it was like a room that held stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
some type of storage closet.
It was a green room. Like, that's just where they could get her up from, and, you know, whatever. There was another entrance. So that's where she came in, and she was very tired that day. Having already met her once before, I know that Betty White, when she does her days, she plans her day out from the beginning of the morning until wherever she can work. And it's bam, bam, bam. It's one thing, next thing. One, done, done, done. She just goes for the whole fucking day. This day, she was tired. Maybe it was her third or fourth thing. Again, it was like peak Betty White. So a few of us got to talk to her in this room. And then you could go out and have your hot dogs. And then basically from this room, they opened the door very slightly so no one could see in. And she came out and she walked around the perimeter of the red velvet rope to talk to everybody, take picture. You could lean over the velvet rope, take a selfie with her. She would talk to any reporters that were standing there. She made her way all the way around the red velvet rope, went back inside. That was it. Took a while, you know, because she took her time and took her pictures and she did autographs. But that was it. She walked the perimeter of that room
and went right back on in.
I think it was also the reveal of her wax figure. So it was maybe like she walked around, posed with the figure, and then went inside. But it was very much like she made a complete circle and goodbye.
That was it.
It's like meeting Mickey Mouse at Disneyland.
Right?
But she was fabulous, because even though all of her handlers and everyone was like, Betty's very tired today, and Betty's, you know, like, but she just, she's very tired, she's had a long day, and she's very, even though all that, she was fantastic. She was so happy. And
she had
so
a shot of vodka beforehand.
She probably did. And a hot dog.
And a hot dog.
I'm going to live to be 195, because that's my exact regimen.
It's those nitrates, I'm telling you. They preserve you. right, that's my last item for celebrity shade. We're gonna hit one quick topic because I love talking about funny animal stuff.
So Wes's new obsession.
Yes, and even though we're gonna use the cat sound every episode because R.I.P. Kitty,
she's always on the show.
Over there, Chris, the little
urn. In the box.
Yeah, the little urn.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
The box in the urn.
Chris.
Oh, not the box. The box. God, where am I from? Where am I from that they created people in the boxes? Oh my God, is that her in the hat? The stuffed animal?
There is.
Oh my gosh, you really love that cat. That must have been your favorite outfit for her.
If you guys could see the stuffed animal that also sits on the shelf where Kitty's urn is.
If we could include a pick on the show, we would.
It's a black cat, but it's like a beanie cat. But it's a witchy beanie cat.
Like a pink bedazzled sunglasses,
like bat sunglasses, and a green and black striped witch hat.
That is not your dead taxidermy cat.
My taxidermy
good,
cat.
Because I was just about to like back away slowly.
It's the green urn.
Like, what kind of Norman Bates crap goes on in here?
She's in the little urn. Anyway. All right, animal news.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cold in Florida. Frozen iguanas are falling from trees.
Like
fuck popsicles. That.
Nope. No.
Another reason why Florida is a trash state.
Nope.
It's not okay.
Nope. Old dragons coming at you.
I would literally throw up and pee and cry simultaneously.
Okay, it's one thing. It is one thing about a plague of frogs, like in the Bible. Remember Magnolia, this movie with Tom Cruise? They had a plague of frogs coming through. I was scared so bad, but if I saw iguanas. Which are like
falling on you?
That is like the ugly version of frog.
Oh. No.
Oh, and they're huge. They're huge. I mean, a foot from nose to tail is small. And everyone knows what a foot is.
Yeah.
A yard, 3 feet, is like a medium to large size.
Penis.
According to the guy who stretched his foreskin down to his knee, maybe. Yeah, don't make me go there again, you guys. But a really large iguana can be like 4 feet long?
Probably, and you know what?
These things are ice cubes,
like literal hard ice
cubes.
But
they could still be alive.
Yes, they're in comas.
Yeah, they're in comas.
Oh, no! That's weird.
Don't pick them up.
They'll get out of their coma one day.
Here's the thing. Iguanas are a cultural delicacy.
What?
On many islands. And
bitch, where?
Oh, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. They beat them in the head with a stick. So to preserve the body and all the meat. And then, yeah.
Well, they have iguana sickles in Florida. If they need any extra
don't
ones.
Don't pile
them
up in your truck because they're gonna come alive.
Start flying around.
Iguana.
Next on Sci-Fi.
Right? Yes. In a world.
In a world.
Where lizards thaw out.
Speaking of weird sci-fi nerdy shit, it's time for nerd...
You did it. You
almost did
now.
It.
First
I believe in you. I believe in you.
First show of the year.
Actually, it's time for nerd news. We have a new DCU Universe creative director. All the DC movies have come under a lot of fire over the last few years, including pretty much everything but Wonder Woman. Although... to be fair, I think people trashed Justice League a little unfairly.
Yeah.
Granted, there was some shitty CGI in Justice League. Let's just put it out there. As a whole, the first 10 minutes of that movie, I was like, I'm in a comic book. When they cut to Batman, and they cut to Wonder Woman, and they cut to Cyborg, and they cut, like, I was like, this is like, if they did a splash page.
It's like storyboard.
If they did a splash page, if you were opening a comic book and there was a splash page, that means one page per character.
Yes, that means your technical terminology, Wes.
And every time you took the page, it was another character, another splash page. I just felt like I was in a comic book. I love that. I think Justice League got a lot of shit unnecessarily because of the bad CGI. I actually think that was a really fun movie and shouldn't have gotten the shit that it did. But other films like Suicide Squad and BBS and one of the other ones that were...
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Justice League and where they're at now in the state of superhero movies. We are so used to seeing origin stories.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're getting into the meat and potatoes of what following a comic book is really like.
Yep.
Just like you said with those last pages and those character introductions. Like, we get to see that. And audiences, the general audiences that only know three superheroes in their lexicon of knowledge,
right.
You know, they have to get used to that.
Yeah.
So it's gonna take a while. It's gonna take another like 6 months, I think, of films coming out for people to get into the mode of, okay, you know what, this is not an origin story film.
Yeah.
This is a continuation.
Yeah.
This is the war part of the movie.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, like a friend of mine and I were talking about, you know, like Marvel has obviously threaded all this stuff together, put so many things together, but you can't really drop into the Marvel universe. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Even though I do think they do a good job of reminding you of stuff, it, you know, it goes by so quick. Mm. And if you didn't catch the last five movies or three movies or whatever, you're maybe not catching up. But a movie like Justice League or, you know, Wonder Woman, which came out this year too, you're discovering this these characters really for the first time. So many people knew the Justice League characters but didn't know their origins. I still don't think we got into Flash's origin enough. Cyborg's origin was a little, you know, it was good enough, but, you know, so many people have told me with Wonder Woman, they're like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. She was a goddess. I had no idea. She came from this island of Amazons. I had no idea. She's been around since the...
I have a quick story about that. So, does anybody here watch America's Got Talent?
Occasionally.
Okay, so
often,
this was last season, and I was one of those family audience members, that gets to root on their friend. So, my friend was retired Wonder Woman, who's this comedian who goes to the different conventions as the retired version of Wonder Woman with the diaper colonoscopy
amazing.
Bag as a lasso of truth. Yeah. And she did her whole skit, and everybody booed her, and Simon Cowell, like, I was trying to cheer, and I was way up in the balcony, and he looked at me with a glare of death, and he said, you shut up. And Howie Mandel had a little heart-to-heart with her, and he's just like, look, this is really funny, it probably goes well at the conventions, but not everybody knows about Wonder Woman, but they do now.
They do now. Yeah. Well... Speaking of Wonder Woman, which somehow we segued onto this topic, I have no idea how that happened. Did you know, speaking of Wonder Woman and Justice League, I was just thinking about this, and even though everything is predicted, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Justice League, skip ahead, even though Superman came back to life and saved everybody, as we all knew what happened, did you kind of recognize that he delivered the final blow after Wonder Woman beat his ass?
I didn't see the movie yet.
Well, spoiler alert.
I've totally been spoiled. I was too busy. I didn't see Thor, and I didn't see Justice League. And why don't you just tell me about Game of Thrones now?
So funny. I'm loving this.
Who died in Game of Thrones, Westifer? Tell me all about it. I haven't started that one yet either.
Oh, well, wait until Loki dies when you watch
it. Spoiler alert.
There's some late to the party people.
I'm sure. Titanic.
Spoiler alert. Why didn't you alert me?
Well, I mean, where do I go? Do I jump out your window?
I told you I have a whole editing suite set up. Look how amazing.
Knock over your taxidermied cat.
This is the most we've laughed on this show in forever.
Oh my god.
Since the Poppers episode.
Come on the show every week.
Did someone say Poppers?
What? One more thing about Wonder Woman. If you haven't gotten the DVD yet, fucking go on Amazon and get the Blu-ray and watch all of the special scenes. The making of is so incredible because you realize not just the director, but the costume designer, the set designer, all of these people from the head all the way down. Mm-hmm. All women.
Yes!
And when they put the Amazons together, they used the same training team that did 300. And there's awesome. Actually a whole 10-minute little extra episode of the Warriors, of the Amazon Warriors.
Wow.
And they put these girls together for 4 months and made them train together and work together and teach each other what they all knew and could do. So it would look like they've always trained together their whole lives. So like,
that is awesome.
I'll show you this, and then everyone does this. And then, okay, but you show me this, and then everyone does that. So then you all train together for this period of time. And the guys that were running it, it was these two guys who were like, yeah, so when we did 300, it was like, the guys wanted to conquer, and each one was like, this is my thing I have to conquer, my next thing I have to conquer. And then when we were presenting it to the women, they were like, okay, well, if she can do this, then she can help me do this. It became about how are we going to accomplish it. And you can see this weird expression on his face where like he's still trying to piece it together, where it was like, it was an experience that we all went through. Instead of each individual guy trying to conquer one thing, it was all these women were like, oh, well, if she can bust this shit, she can show me or help me, or I can help you, or we can all do this.
It's a and team we're all effort.
This together. Hugs. Like, it was just like, holy crap. And then these women are like, yeah, I've been a, you know, professional boxer. I've been to the Olympics. I've done, you like, it just... Mm-hmm. Oh my God, incredible.
I have a question. So do you think that gay guys are like that? Or are they more like the masculine version of what you said?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I think that they can be.
Yeah.
You know, when I was first coming out, I was very young. I was a baby. I was a noob. I was about 16, 17.
So 4 years ago.
Yes. I can just barely drink this wine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically like... older gay men, and yeah, they might have made jokes and they might have rubbed your shoulder a little bit, but never once was I put in a situation where I felt uncomfortable mm-hmm. or had anyone do anything to me that was weird. But they took a immediate role as like a older brother or
mentor.
Yeah.
And there really can be a community. I think in cities like LA and other cities where there's so many of us.
Yeah.
You tend to lose sight of that. In certain little sub pockets and certain little, that's why I think social media has been such a game changer for people mm-hmm. because like you can just throw out all your neuroses and all your geekness and all your stuff. And then people connect with you and you're like, oh yeah, these are my people.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be a community that way, but I think it's hard to come by.
Well, I was thinking more towards the line of, do gay people have the sense of conquering things versus the sense of like, you make me better, so therefore it inspires me.
I mean, I certainly, if you know, obviously if Richie Rich is doing something all on his own and his, like when you mm-hmm. were on those shows last year and doing your mm-hmm. thing, I was like, oh my God, yeah. It's like that's amazing. Like I'm grateful.
Yeah,
you know that you're able to do all that. But I also feel like a lot of ways I feel like a loner. I just feel like I have to do my own thing, and I have to really focus mm-hmm. on my goals, and I have to crush my shit. Like I know there is a community, and I guess I could tap into my friends more. But I think too, after last year, just heartbreak after heartbreak, like I just feel like a little. Tougher and a little more insulated and a little
more hard edged.
There's a little more of a barrier around mm-hmm. here.
Well, let's lighten this up. What's the next topic?
Next topic is our.
But we together stand very, very strongly.
Yeah. We can. Yes. I think the thing is take the sex out of it, take drugs out of it, take the drinking out of it. Take all that out of it and just make it something fun, like cosplay.
Yeah.
Make it something fun, like a event that you all enjoy, Star Wars, or a particular whatever.
Well, as an example, my friend, who's also a male cosplay pinup guy, who just did Tracer from Overwatch, is starting a new group in Los Angeles for LA gamers with a Y. Yeah. So it's all LGBTs, and it's in February, and it's for a cause. So this month, the month of February, actually next month, is going to be raising money for a lesbian charity. And they help lesbian groups in rural areas.
Oh, nice.
So it's like gaming for good. That's, and we all get to connect it. Over that.
That is awesome.
There's a group here in LA called Gay for Good. Actually, this Sunday, we're going to replace the Buddha statue at the old Japanese Gardens here in Hollywood.
Oh.
That got knocked over. And it's going to require
about... By Logan Paul?
I don't know. Probably because it's
honestly,
probably it's gonna take 8 to 10 of us to move it back.
Jesus Christ.
So who knows how that fell, but we're gonna put it back. There's a whole group that does random acts of kindness and different things.
That's
it's
awesome.
Actually not a sanctioned event, but from the board.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's a lot of stuff, yeah, where if you're connecting over a fandom or a desire to do something in the community or whatever it is. You can definitely connect with the community more. I don't think people really connect at the bars. I don't think people
connect. No, they're all on fucking Grindr.
I don't think people connect.
Trying to look at the guy Grindr. That's literally 5 feet next to them.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And it's like they don't respond. I see you.
Right.
Speaking of Grindr and sex, that's the perfect segue. It's time for our sex topic of the week. We asked about teabagging. Last week, the ball dropped.
And this week, the balls are dropping.
Into oh, my.
You know what's weird, you guys, is I never heard about teabagging until that John Waters movie, Pecker, where remember that guy dancing on the bar, and he was
yes.
in tidy whities, dropping his balls on that guy's forehead.
Yes.
I didn't even know what teabagging was until then. And that's obviously a very movie... rated R version of what teabagging is, because you're obviously not wearing underwear. I was like, why would anyone do that? What? Stop teabagging people on the bar.
You're like, what? Oh.
I actually thought it was in underwear for a long time. Like, why would anyone do that? And then I realized, and I was like, does it go into their eye socket? What's the goal?
Is like the crotch stuffed
like
with tea bags and English muffins and crumpets.
Long time to put it together.
Do they all do this at tea time?
Yeah, suck my balls.
Is this like a Queen Elizabeth thing?
Yes, suck my balls and maybe jerk me off at the same time. Teabagging and other sexual requests, sure, why not? Or how about, no. I don't think teabagging is a random request. Like, I mean, I guess it depends. If someone's just like, teabag me.
I don't think I've ever heard that phrase in my entire life.
I have.
Teabag me. They just like lay back, but teabag me.
Usually that okay, oh usually God. That happens when the guy is so like introverted and then the other one is not and is all like, just tell me what you want.
Right.
Tell me what you want.
What you really, really want.
And then he's all like, teabag me.
Teabag me.
And it's so random.
More wine. Our listeners said, or at least my audience on Twitter said, 40%, how weird or random exactly are we talking? Because granted, we opened it up to other things. 60% said application approved. 0% request denied. So people are into random requests. You can just ask for it.
Don't go for it. Ask.
What is the worst that could happen? And yet I was also thinking, what is the most random fucking thing that anyone has asked you to do? I got a lot of feet.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's so random.
You know what's so funny that you
that's
say
not,
that
that's
because...
That's not random to me.
I was...
Foot fetish is a very well-known fetish. Like, that's not random to
Well,
me,
teabagging is not random.
Sure. I guess it's just
expected with me.
Yeah.
The way it's like put out there, like when you say like, oh, teabagging, like it seems to just happen and not like a request, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if someone is requesting it, I think it's just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the line then? Because there's a lot of things that you can request
true.
That is totally hot and
true.
Gets you more in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
But what would make you laugh? Teabagging. It's just like, I'm ready to be teabagged.
What?
But if it was all like, you know, lick my anus.
Yeah.
Wait, well, maybe if I said it like that, it would be funny.
That would be funny.
Would you perform analingus?
Right,
me?
Please.
But you're actually out at dinner cutting.
Right.
Steak. Like, no.
Ooh, not on steak.
I feel like you can just ask for, although, because things have weird names, or someone could say it in a weird way, or you could just be like put off by the suggestion.
Yeah.
It got me into the randomness. And a lot of people did say feet. And then, wait, what else did I get? Where did it go? I don't know. I got to thinking about random shit that people have asked me to do. And I was thinking about just doing a whole thread on Twitter, just like random stuff people have asked me. But I think the most random one forever, and if I ever read a biography, which it probably will happen, because I mean,
a lot of stories.
Yeah. I think I would start it with this. I'm in position, and I mean on all fours, and someone is back there.
Hi.
And I don't know if my stomach grumbled, or if I twitched a little bit, or what happened, but he said, very excitedly,
oh.
That's how it would begin. Because the first sentence is what draws people into
trouble.
No, I'm not going to fart on you. What is wrong with you? That does not make me feel sexy.
No, anyway. At all.
The straight version of that is queef.
Right.
But you don't intentionally do that. I'll queef on my dick.
Right.
You don't do that on purpose.
That's so weird.
What? Oh, by the way, that's only
the tip of the iceberg with that
iceberg.
One.
Wait, let's back up a little bit, though.
The whole
did you do it?
Afterwards, no. I was like, I do not.
That's my boy.
No, I don't.
We're not that classic. We have some of it intact still.
Random stuff. When someone verbal, like, are you super verbal in bed when some, are you, do you just ask for it, or do you try to move for it, or do you call it by a name?
I don't call anything by a name.
Or you just, like, suck my balls.
That's exactly what I say. Okay, so that's, so that is the quickest way to get me off when I'm almost
will
there.
Will you teabag me? I will stand
I say
here.
It with a British accent.
I will be on my knees here, and you will put your head here.
Could you oblige me with the teabag, please?
Okay, I have a quick idea. What, we could play a little game where each of us take a turn saying something ridiculous, like, will you teabag my forehead, good sir? And whoever laughs first loses.
We're already laughing this entire
episode. I can't
episode.
Stop.
I can't
literally
even
cannot.
Begin.
All right.
I would love it if you teabagged my anus.
Right.
I would love it if your scrotum scraped the rosy cheek of my left side of my face. You're
I
out. You're out.
I laugh
Richie
all
Rich,
the
you're
time.
Done.
I can't help it.
You can't. You're out.
I can't.
I laughed at Richie Rich just now, so I'm out. So
yeah.
That was a quick game. By the way, you guys, just so you know, the written rules was that whoever loses gets naked. So that's what happened.
Well,
that's what's happening
right
now.
Right now.
It's happening.
I've already been shirtless once prior
True.
To this broadcast. Richie Rich, so obviously you're a fan of teabagging.
Yes.
What is the most random sexual request you've ever had?
Oh, God. Oh, for me, to toe someone. This guy wanted me
in
to
anus.
Stick my big toe in his ass.
And
it didn't happen.
Did you
I don't like feet. I mean, and mine are pretty, but I still don't like anything involving feet.
It's your foot.
And I just, like, I'm not getting off on this. Like,
so?
No, I don't want to put my toe in his ass. My toe's not even that long. Like, what are you getting out of?
He wanted a toe.
He didn't get the toe. I'm sorry.
And then what? Did you continue? Was that the
Oh, we continued.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. I've ever stopped sex in the middle of it unless I was just tired or too drunk.
Yeah.
Usually, someone's going to finish.
What right. would be a good pickup line for him? Like, you know, don't get angry at me or I'll toe the line.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think all that foot stuff is like, I don't know why people are grossed out by feet, number one.
Some of them smell.
Some of them are not great.
True, but there's also other parts of your body that smell that people love, like armpits and balls, so...
Do you love the smell of balls?
You know what? Everyone has their own scent.
True. They do.
Oh, you're a connoisseur of ball smell.
Yeah.
I see.
You could...
We are testicle connoisseurs on this show.
There are pheromones involved. Yeah. There are things like... I will tell you guys what. There's actually one client that comes in to my gym. And when he works out, and I know he's super... I'm not saying he's unhygienic in any way. Mm-hmm. Because I know he's a professional, and I know he's clean. Mm. But when he works out and he sweats, it smells. Oh. But it's like...
Intoxicating?
Because it's like a lot at first, but then there's something about... I honestly think there's pheromones because I'm like, yeah. That is... Oh.
Clearly, I mean, you smell like someone with a certain me a little cologne, more. And you're like, oh.
I cannot stand on that end of the room too long if I'm wearing tighter pants.
There's gonna be a show.
Is this a celebrity?
Yeah.
It's a celebrity. It's a celebrity. I get really excited about those stories.
I don't particularly find attractive just on his own, standard white boy, but his smell.
Yeah.
Chris, what is the most random thing anyone's ever asked you to do in bed?
Oh my, you know, I feel like I'm a repeat, but it's another foot thing. But this time, I'll up you a notch. Do you remember that movie starring James Vanderbeek called Varsity Blues?
Yes.
Okay, it was around that time. There was another movie, Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He had a banana up his butt.
Yes.
Yes.
But he had whipped cream all over him. Yes. And I think that was making fun of Varsity Blues.
Yes.
So his thing was, he wanted to cover my feet in whipped cream and recreate that scene, but him fucking my feet.
With whipped cream as lube?
Yeah, and a cherry on top. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like a whole Varsity Blues thing. And he was wearing a cowboy hat and a football jersey. And we recreated that, but foots were his thing.
That's an effort. Good for him.
Do you know what
I couldn't say no in that.
Cosplay, you guys. Cosplay.
Right.
I couldn't say no in that. That was way too much effort for me to say no and ruin his day. I'd have to oblige him that duty.
I also feel like if it's not any real inconvenience to me, like, you know, we've talked about people who like to be pissed on.
Yeah.
If someone's like, pee on me, I'm like, well, I gotta go anyway. What do I care?
You know, not my sheets,
if
but alright.
If this is getting you off, if you're in a shower or your face is over the toilet or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. I was at this celebrity's house. And he had me in the bathroom, we were getting ready to go out, and he trapped me there, and he said, oh, I really want you to pee on me.
And
I was just like, oh. And then, you know, it was like the door was locked, and it was so rapey, but kind of hot,
yeah.
You know, and I was just like, all right, let me just do this. And if he got off on it, you
Wait,
know?
Did I share the story about me getting into water sports unintentionally?
Maybe?
With a coworker.
With a coworker?
Okay,
how is that
so
even possible?
What? Okay, it'll be a very quick story. So, I hang out with very few of my coworkers because I'm not allowed to.
Yeah.
But like...
This could have been before your presentation.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. But...
No one knows. We only have like 25,000 listeners.
Right.
Come on.
We,
Try to be discreet.
So, my really good friend that I do work with, and I were out having fun, drinking, whatever. So they went to this after hours spot. I'm like, sure, whatever. So this other coworker, who I had had relations with before, and ended it, decided to text us all and be like, oh, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh god, he's gonna come and he's gonna be weird. Like, but yeah. Whatever. Invite him along.
Awkward turtle.
So he starts getting drunk and hitting on me again. I'm like, we've already messed around twice, whatever. And he followed me in the bathroom, and I'm peeing.
Oh.
In the urinal.
So where's the weird part of the story?
He leans over and opens his mouth.
Oh!
And it's like mid pee, like you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And it's
well,
like
you could.
Well, I mean, like
be able to.
Like
you have good prostate health.
I was drunk.
There was no stopping.
There was no stopping it.
And I was also shocked. It's like, what the fuck do I do at this point? It's like I'm already here, like midstream, and oh shit, there you are. Okay.
Well,
and then come to find out, he did the same thing to my friend that we work with.
Oh my god!
Recently,
I can't believe this is a coworker.
That's
scandaloso.
We have now.
Pissed in the mouth.
Though. I have now just dubbed him last name Weinstein.
Ooh. Here's a quick little side question.
Yes.
I remember going to Pride one time in West Hollywood at their mm-hmm. festival, and there was a guy in a rubber suit, and he had one of them urinal attachments to
mm-hmm.
his face.
His face. He just swallows it. Yep.
Oh my god.
You know him?
No.
Oh.
He's been on the show.
He's been on the show.
In costume.
No, I've just seen it. Yeah,
I've never seen this person.
So, if you really gotta go, and there's nowhere else to go,
do it.
Would you do it? Yeah. You would do it.
I mean,
Westerfer would do it. Richie Rich, would you do that?
Set the scene. How much have I been drinking?
A lot. You gotta really go, and you can either try to waddle to the restroom or the park.
His face is covered up by this whole thing, and he has his trough in his mouth anyway.
I'll make his day.
Come on.
So another side note, I need to mention this. Does anybody remember? Okay, this is another WeHo story, WeHo fixture.
Yeah.
WeHo Jesus has passed.
Oh my God, yes.
I was going to talk about this at the end of the show. So Kevin,
it is the end of the show.
Yes.
Kevin, yes.
Can we wait to the end of the show then? I don't want to be a
bummer.
Well,
we are at the end of the show. This
oh, okay,
it.
Good. Yeah, I was right on time.
We're a good 10 minutes away from the end of the show. So let's end the show with. If you guys do not know who WeHo Jesus is, I would be surprised, number one. But he is the thing is, like, East Coast, West Coast, we have our people who are just, what do you call them, eccentric?
Yes, extremely eccentric and infamous.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Yes. Times Square cowboy.
Woman.
In New York.
WeHo Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I heard things like he was independently wealthy. I heard things mm-hmm. like he worked from home. I heard things like whatever. You never saw him like, oh, hi, I'm at Best Buy. You know, like,
yeah.
He was WeHo Jesus.
Yes.
He lived the life and walked the walk.
His entire mm-hmm. identity was as WeHo Jesus.
Yep.
The hair, the beard, the robes, sometimes a rainbow robe.
Yes.
Fully supported LGBT. Mm-hmm. Pride, all that stuff. You knew him.
I did very well. Yeah. And I'm not going to tear up. I'm not crying this week.
We talked about him before on the
show. Yeah. Kevin was amazing. He was one of the first people I met when I moved here, outside of you, actually. He would come into my restaurant all the time and kick ass at pool. He'd come and say, Don, wash my Starbucks cup. And play some random stranger a game of pool. He lived to just make people happy. If you think about it, he was literally the living embodiment of Jesus.
He lived to
make people happy and smile and take pictures with them. And people thought he was not homeless. He's lived in the exact same apartment for 30 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. Had a fresh pair of Nikes on underneath that gown.
A nice new car.
Yes,
too.
Kevin was not homeless. But he, I don't know what he did. I never asked. Never cared.
I don't feel like anyone knows.
No, he was such a mystery, but such a great person and just loved everyone. That
his
was his
public
thing.
Persona was WeHo Jesus.
Yeah,
maybe it's cosplay. Maybe he was just independently wealthy and was like, "Fuck it,
yeah,
I'm just Jesus." Because whenever you saw him, you could not see him and be like, oh, that's not Jesus.
Yeah,
like,
no, but...
if you saw him,
yeah,
it was him.
Like, that is fucking Jesus.
And would walk around all day, all night, pop in. He didn't drink. He didn't do any drugs, as far as I know.
I never heard
He would ask for water. he'd have a Starbucks cup with him.
But he was really popular because after he got that water, he turned it into wine. Right, exactly. Out, so.
That's what happened.
True.
But I got a quick story about WeHo Jesus. Like, it was WeHo Pride, and it was one of my first ones, so it was really emotional for me because there's a lot of catharticism that happens when you go through that process.
Yeah.
And they have a roller skating rink at the festival. Yes. And it was empty at the time, but me, I don't know how I got a ticket to it, but I did. And I was cosplaying as Spider-Man. And he was Jesus, and we were roller skating around it together, and we were holding each other's hands, like, because helping each other up, because I'm not that good. But he was helping me, and the thing is, I grew up in the church, and I grew up Christian, but I'm also gay, so, you know, there's a lot of heartache that goes with that. And that experience, the metaphor of that experience of me being who I am next to Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You know, holding his hand, just being ridiculous, doing this, like, it was... It was just like a wave, like lifted, a heavy weight, you know? And that was through him. That was the power of cosplay and his message, so.
You know what? When you said that, it really tripped me off because, like, the idea that Jesus is here and is hugging you and is posing for a selfie with you and is holding your hand, and that's what he really represented.
Yeah.
Because he hugged everybody.
He did. He was the most loving person.
To actually feel like Jesus loves you.
That's
powerful.
Yes.
It really is. And you know, I don't want to get into any details of you know, all that, but I actually feel like if he rose from the dead, I would not be surprised.
Right. I'm like, Kevin, more bowl.
Surprise, I was really rich.
Right.
Maybe he come back in like animated form.
That would be great.
Or like some other, you know, creative people get on this, please, for 2018, please.
Netflix original, Hulu.
Yes, get WeHo Jesus going. Mm-hmm. Keep the legend going. But what, it's almost like, even though that's sad, and it's just like, he just had such a great presence and such a, there's no regrets, like maybe he's that really
and
place,
his illness was brief from what I understand, so he wasn't suffering very long, but he was just, Kevin was awesome, he was a great guy, and I would defend him to the day I die, and I did when he was living. He's like, oh, that's a homeless guy. Like, he's not homeless, first of all, his name is Kevin. He's a great person. You just don't hear bad stories about him.
But he was also everywhere.
Yeah. Literally.
That's the thing about everywhere. The biggest, all the big events, all the, like, you could go to a concert, or you could go, like, he was fucking
everywhere. He lived his
life.
I don't know if you know this, but other people refer to him as L.A. Jesus.
Yeah.
And Hollywood Jesus. Yes. Like, he really was everywhere. He was, like, omnipresent.
He was everywhere.
Yeah. It was kind of amazing how many times I've actually seen that.
Right, yeah.
It's crazy.
So rest in peace, Kevin. Yes. I will miss you, as well as the rest of LA.
Yes. On to a better place. Just could not have been more blessed to have had our time with him.
Yeah. Literally blessed. By Jesus.
Seriously. So at the end of our show, we will say thank you so much for listening. Oh my God, we're getting so many fucking listeners every week.
It's right. Crazy.
P.S. We're still looking for some sponsors, so if you want to send us some wine, or if you have a product you want to pitch, give us some money, bitches.
Right.
You can follow us on Twitter.
I'm at RichieRich909.
I'm at Westifer.
And I'm Cap Lucky.
On
everything.
Yes.
We're not that lucky.
No.
So.
On Instagram.
I'm RichieRich818.
And I'm the Westifer. If you're not drunk enough at this point, because I hope you've been imbibing with us, please go through the process of rating our show and giving us 5 stars. We would love you.
That'd be great. It's way less tackle than getting a Grindr subscription.
But it's a process.
But it is a process.
You have to hit the little search button and then punch in, just punch in Richie Rich with a Y.
That's all you have to do.
And we're the show
that it pops
it's
up.
It's the only show that comes up. Richie Rich with a Y.
Who would have guessed that my weird ass nickname from high school?
Or Westifer, but everyone's like, why is Stryker? They don't know how to spell Westifer. It's like Christopher with a W. What's wrong
with you? It's not that difficult.
Anyway, please give us a 5-star review. We would love it. And if you could give our guest your patronage every month at
patreon.com/caplucky.
Please do. If you just follow him on Instagram, you'll get a sample of what he's doing and know that you want to subscribe to it. I've had several people follow you through me and then become subscribers because you give a little hint, you know, one or two pictures, and then there's a little more.
Yeah, a lot more.
Ooh. Sometimes a lot more. Watch those out. Batman pictures. Ooh.
Yeah, like that guy with the bandage on the leg.
Ooh. No, that,
no, not him. Not him. He's not
his there. Is not fake.
No, his is real.
His is very real. And
he don't right. need no bandage.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.